G'day, Sam. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. We'll get to all things Brisbane in just a second. But, Chris, first of all, I wanted to ask you about finals. You've got so much experience with the Hawks in it, and you've been in the position that Alistair Clarkson's been in when you were with him at Hawthorn. He's lost a qualifying final. It happened in 2015. You ended up smashing Adelaide, going back to Perth, and we know you won the flag. Can you give us any sort of insight into how Alistair and the Hawthorn coaching staff would take a qualifying loss?
Oh, no, they'll just do what they always do, is, you know, look at the loss, analyse why it happened, try and learn a few things from it, and hopefully carry those learnings into the next game. There's no need for panic. You know, finals are tough games to win. You know, I remember particularly back in 2015, it was just pretty much business as usual. That's, you know, that's why we've worked hard to get the double chance. We need to go out and play well, and obviously the next week the team were able to get the job done, I think, against Adelaide, and then went on to go to Perth again and play Fremantle in the preliminary final. There was a lot of learning from that first final in Perth to the second final in Perth. So it's no different to the home and away series, really. And, you know, the thing is, you just got to keep your cool in finals and trust that your players are going to react well to losing a game.
Chris, I get the feeling that we in the media and people externally always fall into the trap of, you know, falling in love with the form of the team that wins the elimination final and sort of forgetting about the team that loses the qualifying final. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, it's probably true over the years, although I honestly think a couple of things have changed in that regard. One is the bye before the final. I think that helps even things up a little bit. And the competition this year has been so even. I mean, there's not much difference between second and eighth on the ladder. So any of those teams can beat each other on a given day. I mean, Richmond's a little bit ahead of everybody else, but those other teams were so close that, you know, I think the teams that won on the weekend have got a good chance to do it again this weekend.
And, you know, the team that they face on Friday night, Chris, is another team that you've had plenty to do with. The Demons, sort of where it all started for you.
Yeah, nine years at the Hawks and 10 years at the Demons.
Yeah, wow.
It'll be the last time they might have played in the final was the grand final, was it? 1988?
Yeah, I think that's right, yep.
Yeah, so it's been a long time since both teams have played each other in the final. It'll be an interesting game. It'll be a terrific match. There'll be a big crowd there. I mean, I went to both games in Melbourne on the weekend, and Melbourne fans are up and about and very passionate at the moment, so they've got a little bit of momentum up at the moment to do, so they'll be pretty hard to stop, I think.
As a coach, Chris, how do you think that matchup will play out? You've got the Hawks who love holding on to the ball and keeping possession. I know that was hard in the periods of rain on Thursday night. And then you've got a team like Melbourne who, almost like Richmond in a way, just seem to rely on pressure so much. How do you think it will play out sort of tactically?
Yeah, well, I think both teams will play to their strengths to start with. And, you know, you're right. I think the wet weather the other night certainly didn't help Hawthorn. It suited more Richmond's style of play. So I guess they'll be hoping for drier conditions, albeit they'll have learn a bit from that first final against the Tigers. So, you know, they've got the capacity to play that way as well and change a little bit if they need to. I'm sure they'll give that some consideration. But, I always think in finals, you practice all year to play a certain way, so you go in and you play that way in the final and hope that it's going to work. So we'll see the two contrasting styles on Friday night, and it'll be interesting to see which one comes out on top. The Hawks are a pretty experienced finals unit. So it'll be, I think, a tough game. And, you know, look, the Hawks were, I mean, they were pretty good, particularly in the first half on Thursday night with their tackling and pressure. So they'll bring that. And if they can bring their ball use as well, they'll make a good fist of it.
Just holistically for a second, Chris, you were part of a side with Hawthorn that sort of changed things and made a generation of success on this amazing brand of footy where you were the best disposal team in the competition. Then in 16, it changed a bit with the Bulldogs and their forward half turnovers. And we've seen with Richmond, you know, that pressure game has gone to the next level. You're coaching a team that is on the rise. What do you think the blueprint is, Chris? Or has everyone got their own game plan?
Oh, I think you've got to play to the strengths of the players that you have. So to a degree, you develop it around that. You also look at trends in the competition. I mean, I know for us, all of our coaches up here will be looking closely at the teams over the finals to see what we can learn from them that we can actually put into our game plan without changing things too much. It's definitely a game at the moment where forward half turnovers seem to be incredibly important. You know, the ability to turn it over through good structure behind the ball, good pressure in your own forward line has been the blueprint. And, you know, a team like the Hawks, I mean, we all know that Melbourne are good at it, Richmond are good at it, but if you look at it statistically, Hawthorn have been really good at that this year too. So they'll be looking to do the same. But, yeah, it comes down to your own personnel and trends in the game. And, you know, at the moment, that seems to be the way to go. We're all trying to get that forward line pressure on and retain the ball in there. So I don't see it changing too much at the moment unless there's a lot of rule changes or anything like that, which I don't expect will be the case.
You've had a couple of weeks now to properly reflect on the year for the Lions. I know the latter will say you only won the 5 games, but there's a, I feel like there's a lot of positivity to take into 2019 for your group.
Yeah, I think so. Like our percentage probably tells the story. It was 89%, which is a pretty high percentage for a team that's only won the 5 games. And we're probably close to winning 6 or 7 other games. And we couldn't say that about last season. You know, the 5 games we won were the only games that we should have won because we weren't competitive in the other 17 games. Whereas this year, gee, other than the Richmond game in round 4, where they gave us the real lesson at the MCG and the North Melbourne game in round 11, where they were 50 points in front at half-time, and that's sort of what they won by. We've been really competitive, and, you know, all the KPIs and indicators, inside 50s and points for and against and other things like time in possession, we've improved quite a lot this year, and we want to try and continue that improvement into next year. And if we can, I think we can obviously turn it into more wins.
And the improvement obviously comes in trying to improve your list, Chris, as every club is trying to do at the moment. How much would you like to have Lachie Neale at your club in 2019?
Oh, I knew that question was coming, Sam. But
have to ask it, Chris.
Yeah, no, look, you know, all clubs are in the business of trying to improve their lists, and we're no different to that. And so, you know, we're looking around the competition for A-grade players who can come in and help our young team improve quickly. And, you know, if anyone of the calibre of Lachie Neale, if we could get them to come to our club, that would be an outstanding result for us, but there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge, and you know, guys like David Noble and Dom Ambrogio are probably better qualified to talk about it than I am. But you know, certainly we're in the business of trying to attract really good players to our club, and if we can't attract really good players to our club, we'll just keep going back to the draft.
You've met with him, Chris. Did you like what you saw?
Yeah, he's a good man. So most folks that play AFL football are. So he was no different to that.
It is a tough period of time, you feel like, Chris, for the industry. And I know you sort of separate yourself. You're the coach and you've got guys working with you who are better suited to this. But you've been in footy a long time. Does it feel like the player movement has got to a level that we've never quite seen before in the game?
Yeah, it's hard. I haven't got the statistics in front of me, so I'm not sure of it. But certainly, you know, free agency, restricted free agency, all that sort of stuff seems to have opened things up a little bit. And, you know, players are considering their options maybe more often than they have in the past. But I couldn't tell you exactly whether that's the case or not, but it does feel that way.
Mm. Before we let you go, Chris, and it's been great to chat, I just want to get one comment on you out of the Collingwood GWS game and how you see that one playing out, and then we might get your two tips for the semi-finals as a general onlooker.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a huge battle of the midfield. That's the strength of both of those sides. So whoever can get on top in that department will go a long way to deciding that battle. I thought GWS's defence were fantastic against the Swans. So and they do match up well on the Collingwood forward line, and you know, they've got some tall threats up forward. So I felt in the end, in the West Coast game at the weekend, that it was West Coast tall forwards that stood up late in the game. And, you know, for that reason, I've got a feeling that GWS might be able to get over the Pies on Saturday night, but I think it'll be a pretty close battle. And the Hawthorn-Melbourne game, Ben Stratton's a big out for the Hawks.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that because he's a leader in their defence. Melbourne have got a lot of momentum coming into the finals. They were able to beat some teams in the 8, and obviously they beat Geelong the other night, so they've overcome some hurdles in recent times, and they're their confidence would be sky high. And I think they might just get up in a close one. But those games could go either way.
Chris, really appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us a few of your minutes on Time On, and good luck heading into the off-season.
It's a pleasure, Sam. Thanks, mate.